Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 8. 2 Samuel chapter 8. It appears that the comfort level that Osama bin Laden had with one trusted courier may have been his downfall. In other words, he let his guard down in this one area, not switching trusted people to carry his messages, and therefore he let his guard down. 5 years ago, bin Laden built that huge $1 million compound in that military town in Pakistan. It was just 100 yards from a military academy. It had, in some places, 18-foot walls with barbed wire on top. There was no internet. There was no phone connection coming into the building. It was very difficult to find this man in this city. He laid low and was never seen. He just let his guard down in one area. And the U.S. was patient. They finally identified bin Laden's trusted courier 4 years ago. He was put under watch, and 2 years ago, they gained knowledge of the areas of Pakistan in which he worked, and last August, they found his residence. They knew that that residence was built to hide someone, but just who? They watched, they waited for more intelligence. Finally, in mid-February, they became convinced through intelligence that bin Laden was in the compound. One neighbor of that building said this, and I quote, "I heard a thundering sound followed by heavy firing. Then suddenly the firing stopped. Then more thundering sound. Then a big blast." I want to preach today on the subject, "Don't let your guard down." From 2 Samuel chapter 8. Through, you ready for this? Chapter 10. Did y'all bring a lunch with you? I'm just kidding. I want to take a big picture over this. You see, let me just say this to you. This message is a reminder to all of us to not let our guard down, because when we do that, it is very, very costly. Now, chapter 8 is where we're beginning, but I just want you to hold your place and flip over three chapters to chapter 11. Chapter 11 is the story of David and Bathsheba. He is known for this particular story. Now, we know what ended up happening. He ended up committing adultery with this woman, and he ended up getting her pregnant. We'll get to this in our series, but he ended up committing murder, and sin is that way. It just continues to spin a web of entrapment in our lives, and that's exactly what happened to David. And he began to spin this web of sin, and it cost him greatly. Now, the good news is that later down the road, he turned back to God. Amen? Let me say this. In all of our broken lives, the question is, are we going to turn back to God? That's the question. And Psalm 51 is a great place to go back later and read and see how that David cried out to God and he said, "God, cleanse me from my sin." And so this is very important. But I do think there are some lessons we need to learn about not letting our guard down in our spiritual life, because you see, David went into chapter 11. Just let me say it to you this way. David went into chapter 11 on top of the world. You're talking about victories. You're talking about power, you're talking about resources. David had it, and yet it was in that time in his life when he let his guard down. So, in chapter 8, allow me just to read chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. You follow along in your copy of God's Word, and I'll read from mine. It says, "After this it came to pass that David attacked the Philistines and subdued them. And David took Metheg, Amah, from the hand of the Philistines. Then he defeated Moab, forcing them down to the ground. He measured them off in a line. With two lines he measured off those that to be put to death, and with one full line those to be kept alive. So the Moabites became David's servants and brought tribute. David also defeated Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, and he went to recover his territory at the river Euphrates. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 700 horsemen, and 20,000 foot soldiers. Also, David hamstrung all the chariot horses, except that he spared enough of them for 100 servants. When the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David killed 22,000 of the Syrians. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought tribute. So the Lord preserved David wherever he went. And David took the shields of gold and that had belonged to the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. And from Betah and from Barathai, cities of Hadadezer, David took a large amount of bronze. When Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated all the army of Hadadezer, then Toi sent Jordan, his son, to King David to greet him and to bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and defeated him, for Hadadezer had been at war with Toi. And Joram brought with him articles of silver, articles of gold, and articles of bronze. And David also dedicated these to the Lord, along with the silver and the gold that he had dedicated from all the nations which he had subdued, from Syria, from Moab, from the people of Ammon, from the Philistines, from Amalek, and from the spoil of Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah. And David made himself a name when he returned from killing 18,000 Syrians in the Valley of Salt. He also put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom, he put garrisons, and all the Edomites became David's servants, and the Lord preserved David wherever he went." Now, we could read the last three verses there and find, just look at more of the victories. I just want to say three things about not letting our guard down. The first one is this: do not let your guard down, especially with multiple victories in your past. Do not let your guard down, especially with multiple victories in your past. You say, "Pastor, boy, I don't have anything to worry about. Man, I have been walking in victory all of these years. Look at all the things that God has done in my life, all the accomplishments that God has done in my life." Hey, listen, this has been a wake-up call to me as a pastor studying this passage of Scripture, realizing that chapter 11 is coming. The downfall of this sin in David's life is coming. But look at what led up to it. All of this victory. As a matter of fact, you think about David subjugated the Philistines in the west, the Moabites in the east, Zobah and the Syrians in the north, the Edomites in the south. All of this passage is dealing with the north, the south, the east, the west, all of these places that he had victory. The account here in chapter 8 has all kinds of words that talk about victory in a military way. It uses the word defeat or to strike down in verse 1, verse 2, 3, 5, 9, and 10. The idea to gain victory in verse 13, to subdue in verse 1, to take in verse 1, 7, and 8. For those to become subject to him in verse 2, 16, and 41. For him to capture people in verse 4, and then to do battle in verse 9. All of these words are used. He defeated enemies in the west. Now, the Philistines considered themselves, they were in the West, and they considered themselves the legitimate heirs of the Egyptian rule in Palestine, and their defeat by David implied the passage of the Egyptian province of Canaan into the hands of the Israelites. And David won that battle. He came off great victories, ladies and gentlemen. But listen, don't let your guard down when you have past victories. Have you seen God work in your life, ladies and gentlemen? Have you seen God do great things in your life? Have you experienced some victories in your life? You and I who have been in those situations are good candidates for a fall if we let our guard down. That's the message today. There were enemies defeated in the east. There were enemies defeated in the north. In the north, David defeated Hadad-Ezer. He defeated the Syrians as well. Enemies were defeated in the south, the Edomites, as we read about in verses 13 and 14. The Bible had promised God's people that land, and it says, to your descendants, this is out of Genesis, to your descendants I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. The covenant that God made with Abraham was fulfilled through David. Now think about all these decades, all these hundreds of years that God had promised Abraham and his descendants this land, and it was all fulfilled in this great warrior David, this great leader David. Especially when you've had past victories, don't let your guard down. Number two. Now see, that wasn't so bad. That was a whole chapter. All right? Number two, don't let your guard down, especially after people honor you. Don't let your guard down, especially after people honor you. Now, in chapter 9, we go to the story of Mephibosheth, and we talked about that on Easter. We need biscuits again, don't we? Amen. Man, we need biscuits again. We had that message that day. But I just want to highlight one thing. Mephibosheth, you remember the story in this passage in chapter 9, and I realize we're just taking a big airplane ride over these chapters, okay? We're not digging deep into each one. We dug into 9 on Easter Sunday. But today, I just want to take the big ride above these chapters and get the big picture. But in chapter 9, David said, is there anyone left of Jonathan's family? And they said, yes, there's Mephibosheth, the lame boy, and he lives in Lodibar. And so they went to Lodibar, and they found Mephibosheth. And he says, I want to show you kindness for Jonathan's sake. It's a great picture of salvation. It's a great picture of what's happened to us. We have been shown kindness and grace for Jesus' sake. And that's what's happened in our life. And so the Bible teaches that Mephibosheth was shown this grace. And look at verse 4. So the king said to him, where is he? Talking about Mephibosheth. And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Now, Lodibar means barren. And so there was a place called barren that Mephibosheth lived. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and I will restore to you all the land of your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Verse 8, then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? Now that phrase is kind of weird for us, but that was a way in this day and age to say, I am such a lowly servant. For him to say, I'm such a dead dog as I, is to say, I am worshiping you, and I am a lowly servant of yours. Now, we know that what ended up happening is David restored all that land to Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth ate at the king's table, and it's just the greatest picture of grace you can imagine. It's a wonderful picture of grace. But here's the thing that I want to bring out today in this passage is that David was praised and honored. Have you been honored? Are you honored? Are people thinking, boy, you are a great person. You have been such a blessing to me. Well, don't let your guard down. Because in chapter 9, the Bible teaches us in verse 6, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David. He fell on his face and prostrated himself. In verse 8, then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant?" David was the one in power who had the ability to bless Mephibosheth, and because of it, Mephibosheth responded correctly. I'm not putting Mephibosheth down for responding that way, but what I'm pointing out is chapter 11 is coming. And when you think about the context of these chapters in the Bible, it makes you realize this guy, David, is on top of the world. He's conquering the known world as a leader, as a warrior. And not only that, but he is dispensing blessing on people. And he is being honored by people. I've heard this before, the phrase, a man is tested by the praise given him. I don't know if you've heard that before. The principle, a man is tested by the praise given him. Sometimes we think, well, you're really tested by the difficulty you go through. I think that's true. I think we're tried in tribulation. We're tried in pressure. And we have to hold up and endure. There's a lot in the Bible about count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. There's a lot in the Scripture about endurance in trials. But I want you to also see that many times we're tested when people honor us by the praise given him. So chapter 9 gives us that picture. All right? The last chapter is chapter 10. Don't let your guard down, especially when your heart seems right. Now, this is the most interesting of all. Look at chapter 10, and I'll read from my copy. You follow along in your copy of the Bible. It happened after this that the king of the people of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, and as his father showed kindness to me. Now, way back in 1 Samuel, there's a passage back there in 1 Samuel chapter 11 where Nahash had shown kindness to Israel. And so here is David on top of the world. He's won these battles, he's been honored personally, and he's going to dispense some more kindness on someone. I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me. So David sent by the hand of his servants to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the people of Ammon. And the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun, their lord, do you think that David really honors your father because he has sent comforters to you? Has David not rather sent his servants to you to search the city, to spy it out and to overthrow it? So here's David sending an envoy of his people down to Hanun, and he says to him, he says, I want to honor you. I want you to be blessed because of Nahash, what your father did for me. And Hanun's advisor said, boy, this is a trick. Now, David's motive was right. You see, listen, here's the principle. Stay on guard even when your heart is right. He was mistreated. David was mistreated in this situation. And so They said to their leader, they said, David's coming down here to set this up and to spy us out. Has David not rather sent his servant to you to search the city, to spy it out and to overthrow it? Verse 4, therefore Hanun took David's servants, shaved off half their beards, cut off their garments in the middle at their buttocks. Yeah, the Bible said that. There you go. Well, you were thinking it. I just wanted to say it anyway. And sent them away. Let me tell you this. This was total humiliation. A beard in the day of David was a thing of honor. You know what they did? They didn't shave it all the way off. They shaved off half of it. And the thought is, from the commentator, they shaved off, instead of just cutting it off half this way, they cut it like this on a side. That's right, because that would look funnier, and that would make them be more embarrassed. Here is David. Now listen, here's David with a good heart. David's trying to do something good. Listen, we better be careful. I'm not trying to tell you not to do good, okay? What I am trying to tell you is this. When I was studying this overall section of Scripture, it hit me. Here's chapter 11, right here after David is on top of the world, doing good, having a right heart. The Bible says they took their beards, they shaved off half of it. Now, you may want to write the verses down. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 20, it was an insult and a sign of submission to have your beard removed. All right? You must be on alert even when your heart is right. In Isaiah chapter 20, verse 4, this was another scripture that tells us that the way they treated this envoy in cutting off their garments so that their body would show was total humiliation. Now look at this, verse 5. When they told David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, wait at Jericho until your beards have grown, and then return. Once again, listen. Do you ever wonder why you fall? Sometimes you're thinking, man, I'm falling in this situation and I'm trying to do good. Here's David. Here is David saying to this envoy, don't even come back to Jerusalem. Just stay here in Jericho, because I don't want you to be embarrassed. Just stay out here in Jericho until your beards grow out, and we'll get you some more garments, I'm sure he said. Verse 6, when the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, the people of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and from the king of Maacah, 1,000 men, and from Ishtob, 12,000 men. They knew they had infuriated David. Now, David, with a pure heart, had said, I want to be a blessing to you, and he sent his envoy, and even with his pure heart, they mistreated him, and they embarrassed these men. Verse 7, now when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. He said, that's it. I wanted to be nice to you. I wanted to honor what your dad had done, and you have humiliated me. Then the people of Ammon came out and put themselves in battle array at the entrance of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah, Beth Rehob, Ishtob, and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the battle line was against him before and behind, he chose some of Israel's best and put them in battle array against the Syrians. What happened is they surrounded Israel. You see, when this king who had mistreated David's men realized he had infuriated David, he said, we better go get some people. We better make some alliances. And so they went in some city states that were in these different regions. He made alliances. He said, let's go after Israel right now, for David will come. And so Joab was David's military man. And Joab had the forces out there in the field, and yet he realized that he had people in front of him and he had people behind him. He was surrounded. And verse 9 says that he put his best in the battle array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he put under the command of Abishai, his brother, that he might set them in battle array against the people of Ammon. Then he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come and help you. So here is the situation. You really want to do right, and yet you're mistreated. This is when you must be put on alert. Don't let your guard down, even when your heart is right. David wanted to repay Nahash. Now, what ended up happening is David's people won. You can read about that. But there's just a little side note that I want you to see here with these two warriors. Look at verse 11. The two warriors, Joab and his brother. There's a phrase in here, would be a great message for young people. We're about to have our graduation Sunday coming up in a couple of weeks. And had I hit it right here on this one for that week, this would be part of the message. In verse 11, it says, then he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, this is Joab speaking, then you shall help me. But if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come and help you. Be of good courage and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what is good in his sight. Now, in the King James Bible, it says, and let us play the men. I love that phrase. Now, this is a little sidelight to the message about letting your guard down, okay? But I love passages like this that challenge Christians to stand up and do what's right. I love scriptures that what I call bow your neck. You know what I'm talking about? Say amen. All right, I'm talking about passages that fire you up. Here's what he said. He said to him, let us, when it says in the New King James, and let us be strong for our people. Be of good courage and let us be strong for our people. In the old King James Bible, it says, be of good courage and let us play the men. In other words, he says, we've got men on this side battling us. We've got men on this side. Joab says, look, I'll take an elite force and we'll go this way. You take Abishai, you're my brother. You take an elite force and you go this way. Now, if it's too strong over here and I'm being defeated, you come over here and help me. If it's too strong over there and you're being defeated, I'll come over there. But whatever we do, be of good courage and play the men. I love that. I'm going to preach a sermon on that one day. Play the men. But the point of the passage today for us is, David won this victory, and he ended up bringing these people into subjection. But here, after verse 19, look at chapter 10, verse 19, and when all the kings who were servants of Hadadezer saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So David won, so the Syrians were afraid to help the people of Ammon anymore. And then it goes right in the very next verse. To chapter 11. So the point of these passages right before, in my estimation, is we are to not let our guard down, especially when our heart seems right. When Kelly and I were at Southwestern Seminary, we had a great opportunity to work in a church out there one summer, one of the fastest growing churches really in America. I mean, people were coming from everywhere in this church. They had a very, very charismatic preacher who was just, he was an awesome preacher. And we had the opportunity to serve there. I remember they had a prayer meeting in the morning. We've done this from time to time at North Central where we'd have a prayer meeting on Sunday mornings early, and I remember when I was doing youth ministry here, we would meet back behind the auditorium, and we'd have a prayer before the service and go out, and our deacons would meet with us, and we would do that. Well, we had that when we were in seminary at this church, and I remember sitting in that room. I was 25 years old, and I remember sitting in that room thinking, wow, I'm in this room with these great men. And God is moving in this church. And I just say this for us to have our guard up. That pastor is no longer preaching. Because in the midst of all that success and all those victories and all those battles won, all that work that was done, he had a great failure. And because of that, he was out of the ministry. His ministry was ruined. On the other hand, I want to just close out by reminding you of the integrity of Dr. Graham. I heard a story one time that Billy Graham was in a city preaching, and there was a young man who wanted to see him so bad. He found out that Dr. Graham, this was in the old days when it wasn't so much security, but he did have a man that stood outside of his hotel room. And Dr. Graham was in that hotel, and that man found out about it. And he went to the room, and there was a man standing outside the door. And he said, "Look, I just wanted to say hello to Dr. Graham." And the man said, "I'm sorry. You know, he's resting. He's in his room and everything." And the man said, "Well, there's not any way I could see him." He said, "No, there's not any way you could see him." And he looked. He was walking away, and he looked at the door of Dr. Graham's hotel room, and he noticed there was a crack in the door, you know, a little crack under there. And this man, as the story goes, he thought, "Maybe I'll just see him walking in there." So he got down on his knees, and he looked under there, and when he looked under there, Dr. Graham was in prayer. And his face was in the floor in prayer because of the service that night, or whatever it was, devotions, or whatever it was. I know that with all of the difficulties that folks have had along the way, it's a blessing to realize that we can put in place guards in our lives, our daily quiet time, our accountability with others. One of the things that I'd like to challenge our men, every man in this room, under the sound of my voice, we have begun what we call three bound cord groups. The book of Ecclesiastes says, "Two is better than one, for if one falls, the second can lift him up. But a three bound cord is not easily broken," the Bible says. A three bound cord is not easily broken. You take some strands of string and you wind it together. It's hard to break that three-bound rope. And so we have begun some three-bound cord groups, and I think there are about 35 or 40 of our men involved in that right now. If you would like to be involved in that, I encourage you to let me know, Brother Gene Prince, who's helping us organize this in the men's ministry. Email the church, somehow get the word to us that you would like to be in a three-bound cord group. Because let me say this, you may say, "You know what, man, things are just clicking along, I'm cruising, and man, life is good. Look at all these battles and victories I've experienced. Man, my heart's right. I'm trying to do right. The Lord knows my heart, I'm trying to do right. I'm even trying to help people, and people have honored me because of the things that I've done." Well, let me just say this to you. Don't let your guard down. Don't let your guard down. Bow with me in prayer. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer together.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.